iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Text the keyword FUN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. Text FUN to 200-200.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, at 8:05 on a Wednesday, August the 15th, 2018. Heat advisory in effect till tomorrow at 6. Joe Bartlett sitting in for the vacationing Michael Riedel. You're getting some tweets and emails here, Joe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about them.
You seem a little... You sure you want to hear them? Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Christopher tweeted us, at Len Michael WOR. He says, let Joe Bartlett know I think he's awesome.
Oh, there we go.
How about that? Good. And John sent me an email. You can email us directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. He said, John emailed me, I agree with Joe 100% that the media's obsession with Trump's personality is very disappointing and the news needs to focus on his policies. I couldn't care less about what this Amoroso person thinks. However, I think his policies are actually worse than his personality. And if it was reported more,
well,
people would understand how bad Trump really is.
And if that's the case, and if you believe that, and you're a member of the Democratic Party, you're going down the wrong track. If you really want to oppose his policies. But how can you oppose the lowest unemployment in 50 years? How can you be opposed to tax cuts? How can you be opposed to better trade deals with our foreign partners?
How
can you be opposed to that?
Some of those, we still haven't seen the final.
Len, it's not even 2 years yet.
I know, but let's see what transpires.
But all we care about is whether he said...
Don't go up and down with your pom-poms over the trade deals, because right now it's a trade war with tariffs.
But at least he's doing something about it.
And the tax cuts, I don't know if the trickle-down is working, but we'll see. Let's give it some time.
It's going to work.
We hope to be joined by John Carl, a terrific ABC News White House correspondent. He's very much in demand today by all the media, especially at ABC News. He had the first question
yes.
to Sarah Sanders, and that was at the news conference yesterday.
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
Why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a low-life?
The president wanted to give her a chance.
Well, you think that's grandstanding on the part of the reporters, right?
It's a little more, it's accusatory. It is a little grandstanding, yes.
Well, will you ask him that if he joins us in a few minutes?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay, I will.
Our big three stories this morning, we have that shocking report out of Pennsylvania. 300 priests sexually abused, 1,000 victims, there may be more. Almost all will skate as the statute of limitations has run out in Pennsylvania. I think they can prosecute a couple of them. That's it, out of 300. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign is filing arbitration. They're saying that Amoroso violated her non-disclosure agreement, as the press secretary cannot guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist. I'll play that sound for you in just a second.
Shocking.
And rounding out the big three in Great Neck, I thought this was shocking. The 66-year-old woman invites a guest in for dessert at her house and then thinks that there's evil in the house and stabs the guest to death.
Now, that is shocking.
That and Great Neck, that's absolutely... It's
insane.
Shocking. Yeah. We have some Mets tickets coming your way. We have the Turning Point contest at 8:30. But I guess the statement or the comment that's getting the most is that Kristen Welker of NBC News got up there.
No, the grandstanding reporter in the White House.
Yeah, sure. And the question was, can Sarah Huckabee Sanders guarantee that a tape will not surface with the president uttering the N-word before or after he became president?
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it. I can also tell you that if myself or the people that are in this building serving this country every single day, doing our very best to help people all across this country and make it better, if at any point we felt that the president was who some of his critics claim him to be, we certainly wouldn't be here.
There you go. That's a very good answer.
But
she's an excellent press secretary.
But there was a follow-up.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
Look, I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people. And I can tell you what the focus and the heart of the president is. And that's on helping all Americans.
Come on, Ryan. Don't you think it's a silly question?
I just was surprised because
they're asking her whether she knows whether or not the president ever uttered that word.
Well, but
is she present for everything he's said?
Well, but
is she in a position to make that answer?
What I'm saying is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders has gone out of her way to 100% defend the president at all turns, and it just was surprising to a lot of people that she dodged on that one rather than saying, I'm convinced that there's no tape, and I'm positive, and the president says there's no tape, and I believe what he says. She could have said it that way. She didn't, which is
fascinating. Well, I mean, the question wasn't about whether there was a tape or not, whether he ever used the N-word, and that's a... You can't answer that with any credibility. I mean, she could easily said, I've never heard it.
Yeah. Well, I think she was asked if the tape will surface. Is she sure that it won't? And, not sure. Well, this is Omarosa, obviously. This is all about her and that the fact that the president then called her a dog. But she was on with MSNBC yesterday, and she said that the president, well, this was her claim.
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them.
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks released them.
All right, so we got drip drab, but right now we have the great ABC News White House correspondent Jonathan Carl, who asked this question, the very first question yesterday, to Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Is this any way for a president to talk about any American, let alone somebody that he hired and made the highest ranking African-American woman that served in his White House?
I think the president is certainly voicing his frustration with the fact that this person has shown a complete lack of integrity.
But why did he hire her? I mean, why did he hire somebody he's describing as a dog, as a low-life?
The president wanted to give her a chance.
Good question, John Carl. Were you satisfied with the answer?
Well, you're never fully satisfied in that room, are you? But, I mean, you know, to me, there are tremendous credibility problems with Omarosa, but the reason why the story is a legitimate story and why it is worth listening to what she has to say is because this was somebody that the president had put in such a prominent position. And not just, I mean, she was at the higher echelon of White House staff in terms of pay, $155,000 a year. She was one of the most senior people in the West Wing. You could say she didn't really do anything, but he hired her and put her in this position. And you saw what happened when I tried to ask Kellyanne Conway, now that she's gone, who is the most high level African American in the West Wing, and she couldn't really give me an answer because there really isn't buddy at that level anymore. So, you know, but you played that at the beginning, the allegation about Mueller and the allegation that Trump knew about the WikiLeaks emails and all that. So I got to ask you, I mean, that's a pretty big one, right? I mean,
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, she didn't put it in her book. It's not in her book.
What did she suddenly
remember this after she wrote the book?
Yeah, she's remembering a lot of stuff after she wrote the book.
You can't believe anything she said. Hey, John, I have to ask you now, and I brought this up with Len when he kept playing your question. Look, you're a great reporter, tenacious. I think what kind of bothers me these days is this new phenomenon where the reporters need to get their camera time asking these questions. And as a result, the questions have been not simply a question, but more accusatory and more combative than I've seen in the past, and especially with Trump. Now, I understand you guys are frustrated with some of the answers and some of the topics that you have to delve into, but what's going on?
He thinks you're grandstanding, John.
It's a fair criticism, but before you say that this is about Trump, I would just encourage you to actually.
No, I know you did it with Obama. I know you did it with Obama. I know you did, but it seems like every day we have these episodes. It used to be once in a while you'd have the confrontation over an Obama issue, but it's every day. And it wasn't you; it was Kristen Welker at NBC.
Well, in July, we only had, I think it was either three or four White House press briefings, so it's definitely not every day. One of the issues here is the press briefings have become fewer and far between, and you have fewer opportunities to put these questions to the White House. It raises the temperature. Sarah Sanders' briefings are also incredibly short. You've got to get your thing in there, and before she quickly moves on, you have to try to fight to get a follow-up. There's no doubt there's a tense setting in there, but I take your point. What I try to do is ask the question. It can be asked in a very pointed way, but I'm trying to actually get an answer. Why did the president hire this person? How could he call her these things? What is now? I'm not going to defend everything that's said in that room, and I have seen some of my colleagues very clearly using the opportunity to ask a question as an opportunity to get on a soapbox and express opinion and to argue, have an argument with the press secretary. And I don't think that is our role. But our role is to ask sometimes very pointed questions and to follow up in a very pointed way. And if some want to say that's grandstanding, fine. I say it as doing my job. But I don't believe that it is our role to get in there and to get on a soapbox and start expressing our opinions. I think that is a mistake, and I have seen some of my colleagues, who I won't mention here, do that.
Oh, name names. Come on, Jonathan.
Right.
Fair answer,
Jonathan. Thanks,
John.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Always great talking to you. John Carl, ABC News correspondent from the White House. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you. Take care.
All right. Talk to you soon. He's terrific. And
I like him a lot.
You know, he's not a partisan guy who's out to get this guy.
And I didn't mean to single him out because there are others that are worse.
I wish he'd name names, though. Hey, coming up, we've got the Mets Turning Point Contest plus Cynthia Nixon and why she gave away the store for her debate with Andrew Cuomo. She just folded her tent. But now, Bernie Vider with traffic.
Live from New York City, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
And in a couple of minutes, we have the Mets Turning Point Contest from yesterday's loss, 6-3 in Baltimore, and chance to win some Mets tickets. That's just in a few minutes. But the Cynthia Nixon, Andrew Cuomo debate issue is kind of fascinating, Joe, because Cuomo has not faced a one-on-one major challenger at least in 10 years. I mean, he just doesn't. He'll do the only debates he's agreed to is when all the lesser candidates are in there, and then he doesn't want to stand for some reason. So, but he did agree to this debate. The fascinating thing is, it's August the 29th. It's right in the middle of the dead week leading
Wednesday,
up to Labor Day.
Yeah.
CBS will carry it, but Cynthia Nixon said she just gave Cuomo has all the call. You know, he called everything in the debate, all the rules, everything. It's just up to Cuomo, and she gave, what was her quote? Did she do it facing backwards and
she agreed to do it. As long as he would do the debate, she'll do it under his terms.
All right, well, here's what she had to say about all this.
Unfortunately, all of the terms of the debate have already been settled, and CBS was very frank with us that they really didn't have a choice, that these were his demands, and if they were not acceded to, he wouldn't show up.
So, there you go. He told CBS, and then...
Well, he's still going to be one to one. He'll probably win this thing, I guess,
Well, the poll's saying he'll win, yeah.
Well, no, in terms of the debate, yeah, I mean, he should be up to date on all of the issues. I mean, he's got his talking points memorized. She's not a polished politician, so I don't think she's ever probably even debated. At least Cuomo's debated.
I am not angry. I think it's unfortunate that, our campaign was not allowed to weigh in on any of the terms of the debate.
Kind of fascinating that the pettiness of sitting versus standing.
She's probably taller than him. He doesn't want to look small.
A debate is a formal setting. You should stand. Each person should stand at a podium. I was really looking forward to going toe-to-toe with Andrew Cuomo.
And now she'll have to go knee-to-knee. They'll be sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so now you were telling me de Blasio's meeting with Elizabeth Warren. This is a meeting of the minds, huh?
What is going on now?
You tell me.
They had a sit-down, Elizabeth Warren and Mayor de Blasio at City Hall, one-hour meeting, not on his public schedule, according to the New York Post. They kind of snuck her into a side entrance so that the media didn't see her coming in. The question is, what did they talk about? Is Warren going to run for president, asking for de Blasio's support? is de Blasio telling Harry, look, I'd like to be a candidate too. Maybe we can join forces. I don't know. But this is the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And looks like they're, you know, planning strategy.
I'm proud of you. Maybe the first time on the station that a right winger has done an Elizabeth Warren story and didn't call her Pocahontas. So I'm proud of you, Joe. Good job.
Trying to be fair, Lynn.
Now, speaking of de Blasio, he did get that law he wanted. They're going to limit Uber and Lyft.
Great.
And this is now the law of the city.
And every one of you are such a powerful example of what it means when people get together and they organize and they fight for their rights. This victory is yours.
I guess those are, who's cheering? The yellow cab drivers, probably.
I guess so, yeah. And actually, I think Uber drivers.
Well, they're getting a minimum wage out of this.
Right. But I saw this sign at the rally. It said 80,000 cars and 42% are empty at all times.
The Uber cars?
Yeah.
There are
how many times do you see these guys just kind of wandering around aimlessly on the road?
And they
getting
don't know where they're going.
Exactly, yeah.
I see them all the time.
So 80,000 cars? Come on, how many do you want?
How many do you want? All right, it's time for the Mets Jack for the Nuts turning point in the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of last night's loss in Baltimore. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies September 7th at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. The Turning Point is proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. And for the latest news headlines, filling in for Joe Bartlett, who's filling in for Michael Riedel, is Mike Bauer. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Morning, Joe. Omarosa continues to make allegations against President Trump in the White House. She tells MSNBC that Trump knew Hillary Clinton's emails would be released before they were made public.
There's a lot of corruption that went on both in the campaign and in the White House, and I'm going to blow the whistle on all of it.
She says that she's already talked with special counsel Robert Mueller and would meet with him again.
Len, no, even you got to be tired of her, too.
John Carl made a great point, the ABC News White House correspondent. He said this is a big deal if Trump knew about the emails beforehand, and Carl said if it's such a big deal, why didn't she put it in the book?
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's a great point.
And how many of these things are not in the book and then could be in the book?
And how many are true and not true and hearsay?
Oh, you're right. She's all over the map. That's not to say that some of it isn't true. I feel the same way about that dossier, which you love to discredit. I know there's a lot of stuff in there and some of it's false, but it's not to say that some of it isn't true,
too. You don't know that.
Oh, you don't know it either.
Well, you can't say that, though.
I can say whatever I want. My mic's on.
And he's the first name in the show. You got to go with Len Berman on that one.
Joe. So, what else you got, Mike?
The general election in Connecticut is set. Ned Lamont has won the Democratic primary for governor of Connecticut.
We get to party a little bit, responsibly. And tomorrow it starts again. Tomorrow it starts again because we're on our way. We're on our way to November. We're going to win, and we're going to go all the way and turn the state around.
Think there's a little Howard Dean in him?
Come on.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
There's a little bit of that.
Democrats really get excited.
Those Democrats. See, we're excitable people. You Republicans are just, IBM, blue bloods,
Now, guys, I'm interested to see if you love this story as much as I do. You remember Jason Kessler, one of the leaders from this past weekend's white supremacist rally in Washington, D.C.?
He's kind of the spokesperson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He may be free to lead the hate-filled march, but he can't talk Nazis when he's at home. Kessler was live streaming with another Nazi when his dad interrupted.
The banking houses are in Israel.
Hey, you get out of my room.
Sorry, I'm having an issue here. Oh, you got a drunk roommate there?
Something like that. Push me like that in my room.
What's he saying?
What was his last line? Don't push me like that out of my room.
Oh, a drunken roommate. It's dad. Has a head on his shoulders.
He said that he's living with his dad because he's involved in so many lawsuits. He's tried to continue the live stream immediately after that to no avail.
We're at a crosshairs on that stuff. I don't agree with.
I want this stuff in my room, Jason. This is my room.
It's my room, Jason.
Kessler also complained that his family watches the American History Channel, which includes constant anti-Nazi propaganda.
Okay.
So there you go, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Coming up, we're going to take your phone calls. Donald Trump as a person. There's a new poll that says 59% dislike him personally. Do you agree? Call us. 800-321-0710. Want to know what you think. But first, let's see how traffic's doing. Here's Bernie Viter. And the phone lines are open. 800-321-0710. There's a new Quinnipiac poll out. It said just 31% of voters said they liked the commander-in-chief. Now, they're talking about him as a person, not as a president, as a person, which I guess ties into being president. It says 59% dislike him. So what do you guys think? Do you think it's a fair poll? Do you think that the numbers sound right? Does it matter? What do you guys think about these polls? 800-321-0710. While you're dialing us up, I'd like to tell you that Chris Breitkopf of Selden, New York, was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game.
1-0 is bashed deep in the air. Right center field, going to the track, going to the wall. It's gone. Chris Davis home run, and it's Baltimore 3 and the Mets 2.
Well, they broke the 2-2 tie with the Chris Davis homer, and Baltimore went on to win it by a final of 6-3. So Chris wins himself a pair of Mets tickets. Your next chance to win is by listening to the next Mets postgame show right here on 710 WOR for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game. Coverage of tonight's game in Baltimore begins at 6:05 here on 710. All right, should we go to the phones, Joey B?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's set up the – give me the number here that don't like Trump personally. Don't like his personality.
59% dislike him.
Okay, as a person.
As a person. Now, 54% – don't like the job he's doing. So that's according to this poll, 54-41. Okay. You know, Rasmussen has him at 50.
50, right.
And it also says that voters said by 54-37 that President Trump has emboldened people who hold racist beliefs to express those beliefs publicly.
Well, that's a separate issue, I think. I think the issue has to do with the way he treated, the use of the word dog here to describe Omarosa,
right?
That sort of thing.
All right. Let's go to Charles. Lead us off, Charles, in Valhalla, New York. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, Len. Love your show.
Thank you.
But the 59. I mean, who can like Donald Trump? He's brash. He's New Yorker. He's got all of these crazy affectations and tics and everything, except his supporters love him.
Do you like him as president, Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. A lot of people have broken that down. They said, I really don't like the guy personally, but I think he's doing a good job as president.
Right. I mean, maybe I just like a strong man.
Okay, well, you got him. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that keep in mind, leaders have to be strong. They're not Santa Claus or Mother Teresa here. You got to have an edge to be successful. All right, let's go to line six. We're going to go to Rob from Franklin Square, New York. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm a Republican conservative. I voted for every Republican president since the second term of Nixon. When I was 21 years old, he had to vote then. I can't stand Trump. He's a disgrace to the presidency. I voted for Peter King. It's the first time I didn't vote for a Republican president. He's got away with the stuff that he got away with in New York before he became a president, with the bankruptcies, the people that he stiffed. I mean, he's supposed to be such a great guy for the working guy. A lot of the stuff is added on, like this Omarosa. She's a screwball, but I mean, that's the people that he has in his administration. Everybody, all these people that comes and go, they're picked by him. I mean, it's nonsense to me around the world. I would think that the people would say it's a disgrace what's happening with the presidency. Or he's got a lot of good things going with the economy, but what happens when it turns? What is he going to do then when he's faced with Bush W. He had a great economy for 6.5 years, and then when it went south, these things, they're cyclical.
Rob, so you did not vote for Trump?
I didn't vote for Trump. I wrote in for Peter King.
Now, you would not vote for Trump in 2020?
You know what? I wanted this guy to give me the the opportunity to vote for him. Certain things that are doing, you know, with the economy going like this, you know, is it everything because of him that the economy is this great? I heard that I don't like to give Obama any. I think Obama and the guy before Reagan, Carter, were the worst presidents of my lifetime. But I mean, the GDP, what do you call it, the 4.1 thing?
Right.
They said there was one month it was like that with Obama.
Had I mean, a you five know, of there somewhere. Yeah.
You know, and,
all right.
You know.
I hear
yeah.
you, Rob.
Yeah, I think that had when Thanks, the GDP. Rob. I think maybe I don't know. Look at the economy was awful under Obama.
It was bad.
It was bad.
He was dealt a bad hand too.
Well, look, he had 8 years to fix it.
Yeah. Well,
Trump is in here less than 2 years, and the economy's
let's
churning.
See if it's sustainable. Okay, I just got an email from a listener who said it's not sustainable. Trickle down doesn't work, and you can't raise spending and cut taxes.
Okay,
it just
good.
Doesn't work.
Elect your progressives and start raising taxes. See how that works. Yeah, of course it'll.
How about Vinny on Long Island? Save us, Vinny. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I kind of laughed when I heard that question. Polls are like mailboxes. You know, everybody's got one. They're all different.
they're not mail. Yeah, we know what you're saying. Right.
And then I get a guy like this who says, you know, that GDP thing. I mean, in less than 2 years, the guy's turned the economy around. Okay. Absolutely, positively turned the economy around. What the media is doing, this dissemination of hate. And criticism. I mean, that's what we all hear. That's what everybody hears. But you don't hear the real news. You don't hear the good news. Okay. And the good. And by the way, how is he a racist? The guy just hired the first brigadier general, right? African American female in history. That accommodation he gave. I think it was to the boxer. Who was accused
Jack
of, you know, maybe you guys can help me out, murder or something like that.
Jack Johnson, no. It was actually the Mann Act, transporting a woman across state lines. It happened to be a white woman, and he was black. It was Jack Johnson, the boxer.
Yeah, you know, the surgeon general, you know, African-American. I mean, the guy's, he's got a history of great deeds in the African-American community. So it's all baloney. It's all baloney. The guy's done a fantastic job, not just the GDP, but look at North Korea.
We hear you, Vinny, but he does have a history of some questionable racial decisions. Take one more, Joe.
You pick it because I can't do it. But let me just say this, Len. I don't like his personality either.
Okay.
It really is.
A lot
it bothers
of people have said
me.
That.
Bothers
but you like him as president.
Absolutely.
Okay. How about one more? Eric is listening on the app in Illinois. Welcome to the show, Eric. How you doing?
Good morning, Len. First, I just want to loyalty back to you.
Well, thank you. Isn't that nice of you? Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
With that being said, It's ridiculous. I had the pleasure of meeting President Trump on two occasions before he was president. I met him in the lobby of the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Central Park West. And then I got a chance to be with him again live at a WWE pay-per-view when he was having a billionaire's battle with Vince McMahon and he got to shave his head. I mean, yeah, is he a little brash? Is he a little, you know, whatever? But I mean, we all knew that when we elected him. We love President Trump. I mean, the media will not give him credit for the things that he's gotten done. All they want to do is say he's a racist and a bigot. Amorosa, I'd love to see her stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get run over by a box truck full of fish headed down to the South Street Seaport.
That's not nice. We don't want to advocate violence, Eric. Let's play nice.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, like, you know, he's so great and he's this and that, and then all of a sudden, how conveniently, she's got a book to sell. And now she's bashing him that she's got a
Thanks,
book.
Thanks, Eric. We got to run, but we really thank you for listening. I really appreciate you listening and listening from Illinois. And I met Trump on many occasions before he was president. I always found him very charming and personable. Hey, when we return, goats in the city. Sure, why not? Plus, that TSA dance-off and a lot more. But first, Pretty Fighter has traffic.
WOR.
8:54 in the a.m. on 710 on the AM, and got some great videos to show you on the radio. So they'll have to come up with that technology joke. Why can't we show videos on the radio? They have to go to our website to check them all out.
It's almost like, because a lot of people listen to us on the website. So
that's true, too.
It's right there.
But also, all right, they could just go over on the website and check it out or listen on the app, as that guy from Illinois did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we've got a bunch of great videos we put up at 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Before we do, you know, whenever there's a beer story, I hear from it immediately from Joe Bartlett. Oh, I got another beer story. Okay, Joe, go ahead. What's your little beer story?
This has to do with my friend Jim Cook, who is the head of Sam Adams, a Boston beer company.
You know him?
Yeah. We did a lot of shows together. He used to come on every time. Really? Well, they change their beer. It's seasonal. Every season, right. They have new beers, and usually he comes on and tells me about
it. Why do they pick you, Joe?
I don't
glug,
know.
Glug, glug, glug.
I'm a good customer. I'm a good customer.
Thank you, Blaine, who's filling in for Natalie. But wait a second. Does he live in New York?
No, he lives in Boston.
Okay.
Cape Cod, I think. But okay. Anyway, he is in. He went to Bedminster and had a meeting with President Trump and extolled the virtues of the tax cuts.
So he's happy because obviously corporate tax cuts have helped businesses.
Right, but there's a Massachusetts mayor of Somerville, is now going to
big town. Yeah,
going to boycott Sam Adams beer because Jim Cook was so complimentary of the president.
But this mayor just personally, or is the whole town?
He's calling for the whole town to do it. But listen to what Cook said. He said because of tax reform, it's a big deal for him. 85%, I bet you don't know this, 85% of the beer made in the United States is owned by a foreign company.
Hmm.
He has 2% of the market. He is the largest American beer maker.
2%, yeah.
At 2%.
So Budweiser, all those.
They're all foreign-owned.
They're all those, yeah.
And he says, you know, because he's a U.S. company, when he sells overseas, he is hit with a lot of tariffs.
Wow.
So he's
all right.
All for President Trump.
All right, get your friend on
the air. Go get him, Jim.
Get your friend on the air.
I'll call him.
Talk to him. Hey, this video, I think this is the best of the lot. Anthony found this, who's our assistant producer. There's a North Carolina guy. and his girlfriend, they're checking out. They're at a wireless store in a town called Lincolnton, North Carolina. And there's a guy in a red hat that's just leaning down and staring at the guy's girlfriend's butt.
Sometimes you can't help yourself.
Well, but he's leaning down. The video's unbelievable. You got to go look at this. He's just staring. And finally, the boyfriend sees what's going on,
hey.
Walks over to him. And he throws the best left hook I've seen this side of Frazier. I mean, he just cold cocks the guy.
Well, he asks the guy first, are you staring at my girlfriend's butt? And the guy's backing up going, yeah, I was.
Boom.
Well, that's a bad answer.
You've got to see this left hand. It's a great left hand. Anyway, the girlfriend said, don't call the cops, whatever. She asked the boyfriend to apologize. But apparently, he cold cocks the guy. The guy picks up his hat, leaves the store. And then the boyfriend just turns around and continues his transaction at the cash register as if nothing happened. But it's the funny scene of the guy staring at the girlfriend's butt. Check it out on the website, 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael.
A little nudity for you here.
Uh-oh.
Half-naked woman goes berserk during a flight and got tied up. I'm looking
what?
At, yeah. Flight from Moscow to Turkey.
Well, that
explains
it right
there. A little too much vodka here. Yeah. Woman reportedly was drunk when she boarded the aircraft, having a few too many drinks at the duty-free bar.
Hmm.
So she started acting violently, threatening and scaring passengers not long after the plane took off. So they subdued her. They put some seat belts around her.
Right.
And there she is. You can see her on the floor. And
yeah, but they said she started ripping off her shirt.
Yeah.
She was wearing a black
bra. She only had a bra on, right? Yeah,
she did a Brandy Chastain.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. These are always cute. I mean, if you want cute, if you want to go, and share a video. So this young airline passenger is going through security at Newark, and the kid challenges the TSA officer to a dance-off.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Cute.
This is great.
It's
yes.
really good. I mean, the officer and the kid are just dancing. Great scene at the TSA. They're not just out to get you. There are, you know, some good guys working there, and there's a fun dance-off. Check that one out at the website as well. Now, what's this deal with goats in the city?
20 goats escaped from a truck that was headed to a Brooklyn slaughterhouse. They knew where they were going. The driver pulled over to take a nap. Hey, the goat said, hey, he's sleeping. Let's go. So they broke free. They were doomed. And they busted out of the trailer. So we have some pictures of the goats on the loose.
On our Twitter feed, at LenMichaelWR. By the way, the guy who punched out the other guy who was looking at his girlfriend's butt.
Yeah.
Here, listen to this. Boom.
Oof.
He got him. And then the your lady going berserk on the plane.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah! Oh, my God!
Yeah! She sounds good.
My God!
I'll drink to that, lady.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Terrible. All right, we have a serious story. This broke yesterday, and it's just heartbreaking. We're going to go live to the scene of that bridge collapse tragedy in Genoa, Italy. And that's coming up next after the news right now on 710. It is 9 o'clock.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on the Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, on a Wednesday morning in the big city. Sunny, hot. We'll stay hot for the next couple of days. Joe Bartlett, good morning to you.
Good morning, Len.
What excites you today? What floats your boat on this August the 15th?
Well, I think two things. I'm tired of Omarosa.
Okay.
And I'm very upset by the story out of Pennsylvania about
the priests
abusing over 1,000 young children. Very, very upsetting.
And another upsetting story, and it really has wide ramifications. We're going to be going live to Genoa, Italy in a few minutes to ABC News correspondent Julia McFarland. I mean, that bridge just collapsed.
Oh, I know it.
Last number I saw was 39 dead. I don't know. It's probably gone higher. Julia will have the latest numbers for us in just a few moments.
I saw the video of a truck. This box truck just was able to stop at the edge of the bridge where the collapse occurred. Fortunately, the guy survived.
So many vehicles went down. But the whole idea of aging infrastructure.
Yes.
So that touches every, you know, we've talked so much about infrastructure here in our country. Now there's a they're up in arms in Italy. They want investigations. They want people fired. It's all about infrastructure. So,
well, look at the, we're complaining about the repairs on the Route 49 overpass over the Lincoln Tunnel.
495. Right. That goes into effect. Some lanes are going to be cut down starting Friday night.
But you look at the just that structure. It's almost 80 years old.
Oh, I know.
It's got to be repaired.
I know.
It should be replaced, but that's impossible.
Just think of this concept. All these structures and bridges and tunnels were built by the lowest bidder 70 or 80 years ago.
Really?
And so, there were issues. I mean, not to make light of this. So we'll be going to Italy momentarily. Our big three stories, and really you touched on a couple of them, Joe. You had the shocking report from the grand jury in Pennsylvania. 300 priests sexually abused at least 1,000 victims. And the kicker here is just about every single one of those priests will skate as the statute of limitations has run out.
And you know what's sad, too? The Vatican, no comment.
I heard that.
No comment.
That surprises me from this Pope, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know it. He's been very strong in this issue.
Oh, absolutely.
With the zero tolerance, but no comment on this one yet.
None. I saw that. Also in the big three, the Trump campaign filing arbitration now saying Omarosa violated her non-disclosure agreement. That's a little bit controversial. Should you have non-disclosure agreements in government work when it's not dealing with classified material? But in any event, the press secretary, this was a big hoo-ha yesterday, she could not guarantee that a Trump tape with the N-word does not exist. She couldn't guarantee it. And a lot was made of that.
No. Was it the question about the tape or not? Do you have that?
Yes, the question was about the tape.
Let me.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. This is all about the tape here. And this is the second. This is the follow-up from Kristen Welker of NBC News.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it. I haven't been in every single room. I can tell you the president has addressed this directly. He's addressed it directly to the American people. And I can tell you what the focus in the heart of the president is. And that's on helping all Americans.
But the question was, can you guarantee that the tape of him using the N-word will not surface?
Has he ever used the N-word?
No, I thought it had to do with tape. Now, we just have the answer. This is the long initial answer that Sarah Sanders gave.
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it. I can also tell you that if myself or the people that are in this building serving this country every single day, doing our very best to help people all across this country and make it better, if at any point we felt that the president was who some of his critics claim him to be, we certainly wouldn't be here.
Yeah, so
that's, I don't know, but is she in a position to say that it was never, that President Trump never used that word?
Well,
she's not in a position to guarantee that.
However, he has said it, and in the past, she has backed up everything he has said.
And he tweeted about it yesterday. He said it's not my vocabulary.
Correct.
There's no tape that exists.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Rounding out our big three, that story in Great Neck was just as stunning. The 66-year-old woman invites basically a stranger, but invites her in for some dessert. And I guess they're going to play the piano or something. And at some point, the 66-year-old woman decides that her house has evil in it, and she stabs this guest to death in Great Neck.
And she didn't even know the woman.
No, didn't know the woman.
Crazy.
Just a crazy story. So those are some of the big stories we've been dealing with today. And as I said, momentarily, we shall go to Genoa, Italy, and ABC News correspondent Julia McFarland. I don't know how they're dealing with that. This was a bridge, a industrial town near the Italian what do they border with?
Is it there was France.
Italian-French border. Yeah, that's what I thought. And, well, let's bring in Julia McFarland to paint the word picture for us. Julia, good morning. What are you seeing and what's the latest?
Good morning, Len. Well, I mean, it's just an incredible sight to see. This bridge, the scale of this bridge is huge. It's clear to see that the section of the bridge that collapsed yesterday, hundreds of meters wide, it would have taken dozens of vehicles plummeting down with it as it fell down. This morning, the local prefecture raised the death toll to at least 39 people are believed to have died. Dozens have been injured. Some remain critically injured and are still receiving treatment in hospital. Sorry, if you can hear, there's a lot of traffic next to me because there is a search operation is still underway for people who may be trapped in the rubble. There have been ambulances and fire engines going past us. All morning there have been helicopters buzzing over our heads. We can see in the distance that there's heavy machinery sifting through that heavy concrete and debris, although there are now little hopes of finding anyone who might be left in the rubble. But there are a small number of people who are believed to still be missing.
Hey, Julia, one of the issues here about the infrastructure in this bridge in particular is that Italy really doesn't have the money to fix up its infrastructure. How's that playing out as part of this story?
Yeah, so Italy is going through a horrendous financial crisis at the moment. Unemployment is a huge, huge issue here. The government is also dealing, it's got the heaviest debt load in all of Europe. Now, the government is really sort of struggling to find the cash to fix its infrastructure, much of which is quite aged and in bad need of repair. And, you know, part of the growing anger here is the fact that this is now the fifth major bridge collapse in the last 5 years. This is not an isolated incident. People have been asking a lot of difficult questions of the government, and the government themselves, a lot of politicians have been pointing the fingers elsewhere. There's politicians have been blaming the Autostrad company, the company that maintains the highways. They say that they have fulfilled all of their checks, local authorities as well. The Genovan Public Prosecutor's Office has opened an investigation into possible and negligible homicide. Now, it's anyone's guess as to how long that investigation, it'll take for that investigation to reach a conclusion. But, I mean, until it does, one can expect that no one is going to claim responsibility for this tragic accident until then.
And they wasted no time. We're on with Julia McFarland of ABC News. And Julia, they wasted no time in finger pointing because one of the elected officials already said they should arrest or they should charge the people who are oversee this particular bridge. So they're already, you know, calling for the heads of some people.
Yeah, I think they are very, very sensitive to just this swelling anger amongst the Italian people. Today is particularly tragic. This accident is particularly tragic because today is a national holiday. It's one of Italy's biggest national celebrations. Ought to have been a happy day today. And indeed, a lot of the people who were traveling on that bridge were families heading off on their holidays. One tragic story of a young family with a 9-year-old son, a picture of them looking happy and excited as they were on their way to Sardinia in the south of the Mediterranean for their holiday. That entire family are among those killed in the rubble. So I think the politicians are reacting very quickly to a tidal wave of huge public anger and resentment at this accident, which is widely seen to have been an accident that really ought not to have happened and could have very easily have been avoided.
What was your concern about this bridge prior to the collapse? And the other question I have for you is, was this just sudden or was it slow in terms of how it went down?
So witnesses have described, some witnesses say that they felt a sort of rumbling in the bridge. Some of them had enough time to reverse and run out of their car. I don't know if you've seen that one of the most widely circulated images is this green truck that managed to slam on their brakes
just moments, just meters away from the edge that remains standing. That truck itself still remaining abandoned. We can see it on that bridge.
We may have lost her. Anyway, great report. That was Julia McFarland, ABC News, from the scene in Genoa, Italy. And I could guess some of the phone communications must be tough with all the rescue operations going on right there.
So. Yeah, I saw her on the nightly news last night. This is a national holiday, Ferragosto, whatever that is. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been in Europe on this date. It's weird. Really? It's in a couple of countries. France, it's a holiday in France. I actually arrived in France on this date.
Really?
And it was a weird thing. President Nixon had done something with the dollar, and all of a sudden they wouldn't accept any American money the day you arrived. I arrived. It was crazy. But it's August the 15th. That's a holiday in many countries in Europe. Anyway, we thank Julia McFarland. What a scene that must be, and she painted the word picture for us, and we appreciate that. Hey, coming up right here on our show this morning, we have the pooper intendant getting his payoff, and also getting a payoff is the kayak killer. Boy, a lot of alliteration going on. But first, we've got Bernie Viter with traffic. And we're at 9:24. Glad you can be with us. Joe Bartlett riding shotgun with Michael Riedel off today. Remember the story we followed for quite a while, the pooper intendant?
Yes.
Remember this guy? His name is Thomas Tramolini. He was the Kenilworth Public School superintendent. And for some reason, he'd go out jogging, and he'd do a number two on a daily basis near or on the Holmdel High School football field and track.
Did we ever determine whether or not this was just a normal human function that happened to occur at that particular time?
Well, he was out
jogging.
Or
was he doing this for some other reason?
Well, they kept saying it was a rival high school, but
I don't think it was a rival high school. I think we debunked that.
Well, yeah. You know, according to NJ.com, authorities never released the motive for the serial defecation.
Maybe the guy just had sort of, you know, indigestion issues
on a daily basis. Oh, he was very regular on a daily basis. When you gotta go. That's the way it works.
He ran, and I have to go. The bathroom's still back at the house. This is a convenient spot.
Anyway, he's been relieved of his duties. But here's the deal, and it's just interesting to note that he will receive his full salary through the end of September. He gets 2 months severance pay. And he gets nearly $24,000 in unused vacation. Do the math. The pooper intendant of the schools will walk away with $100,000.
Bothers you? District. Well, you think he should not get his accrued vacation? Yeah.
Doesn't it make
should not get back pay? Should be fired immediately with no pay?
Doesn't it make it sound like crime pays?
No, the guy doesn't have his job. It's just being paid out through the end of the year.
Isn't there some like poop clause that you have in your contract that if you get caught,
put one in? Yeah.
Maybe you have one in your contract here at iHeart. That's the voice.
I definitely do.
That's the voice. Well, and we know why. That's the voice of Blaine, who was filling in for Natalie. But I've never had a poop clause.
I was very curious about why this guy was doing
it. Yeah.
And if in fact it was just business, I had to go.
This guy will forever be known as the pooper intendant of schools. Way to go. Now, there's another one involving somebody getting money, and you have to question this one, too.
Lot of questions. This is the woman who killed her boyfriend by unplugging the kayak that he was in, knowing that the guy couldn't swim.
Right, and she got a very light sentence, didn't she?
Yes, a reduced charge of criminally negligent homicide, even though she deliberately pulled the plug and watch the guy drown.
So she deliberately pulls the plug of the kayak. She kills off her. What a lovely fiance.
Vincent Villafior was the guy's name.
Yeah.
And he drowned.
Talk about a bridezilla.
Yeah. And so she got a light sentence, too.
She did. I know.
I mean, she was out in a couple of months.
Right.
And to make matters worse, in my opinion anyway, she is now allowed to collect part of his life insurance.
Well, that makes no sense.
No, absolutely not.
Now, how do they figure that?
Well, I guess the parents made a deal. They
didn't. A settlement, huh?
Yeah.
They just didn't want to drag it out. But apparently there were a couple of, and that's why she clearly, did she ever admit to doing this?
Yes.
Well, found guilty, but wasn't she doing this for the insurance? He had like three policies or something?
She's going to get between $500,000 and $600,000.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
How much did the policies
She had there are three different policies, apparently.
Well, that's why she killed him. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they did apparently not get along, and then
she was
angry. I guess that was her story. Look, I was angry at him, and I wanted to teach him a lesson, so here, drown.
Wow.
I mean, how bad is that? I mean, it's bad enough that she was just given a life sentence of just several months for killing the guy. Right. Now she gets half of his insurance policy, walking away with at least $500,000.
I don't know. You think it's that much? I thought they came to some kind of a secret settlement or something that they didn't want to say how much she's going to get.
Well, this is the New York Times, so we know this is true.
This is the failing New York
Times.
This is
a failing New York Times.
Yeah.
He had three policies, and she, according to the Times here, according to a lawyer for the Via Fior family,
right.
She is going to receive between $500,000 and $600,000.
That doesn't
sound not right.
I can't believe she got such an easy sentence when it was cut and dried. I mean, she pulled the plug on this guy in more ways than one.
But the problem was the prosecution was not able to prove that she intended to kill him by pulling the plug.
Oh, she pulled the plug just to see what would happen?
Yeah, just to aggravate him.
Okay, fine.
It worked for her.
It did. All right, so Michael Riedel's on vacation. Joe Bartlett's filling in for Michael Riedel. That means somebody has to fill the shoes of Joe Bartlett, and that somebody would be Mike Bauer. So it's time for the latest news headlines. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Len. Good morning, Joe. Trying to fill the shoes of Joe Bartlett.
It's tough.
Here's some fake news. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders bragged that Trump had already created 700,000 new jobs for African Americans.
When President Obama left after 8 years in office, he had only created 195,000 jobs for African Americans. President Trump, in his first year and a half, has already tripled what President Obama did in 8 years.
Not so fast.
Yeah, the challenge there is that the economy actually added 3 million jobs for African Americans under President Obama, even when taking into account the recession. Sanders then tweeted, "I'm sorry for the mistake, but no apologies for the 700,000 jobs for African Americans created under President Trump."
I have to tell you, when everyone throws around numbers on both sides, I glaze over anyway, so I just don't know what's true or not true anymore. And this is kind of interesting that this came out of official White House press briefing, and she had a backtrack. But you just wonder about all these numbers because they're so hell bent on trying to say they're doing better than Obama. Just relax a little bit, you know.
Well, it's clearly they're doing better than Obama when it comes to the economy.
But you got to relax because you know why you have to relax? Because today is National Relaxation Day. I think we all need to take a deep breath, just relax. Let's go through our daily lives. Let's not get all heated about this politics stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you doing a newscast over there?
I'm sorry. What? I was relaxing. Residents of the South Bronx have a new way to get Manhattan. It's a ferry route on the Soundview section that makes its debut today.
Faster, going to cut down on the traffic, the congestion, the train issues. I think this is great.
The way the trains are right now, it's so packed and so congested, so now this is going to help.
Takes 46 minutes to get to Wall Street with stops at 90th and East 34th Streets. Cost $2.75, same
that's
as a subway
deal.
Ride.
That's a, oh, that's a great deal.
They've got this waterway going around the city. I mean, it's really, I've seen that in the Rockaways. It's a good deal.
It's fantastic. Now, if you haven't had breakfast yet, how about some fried rattlesnake? A Phoenix woman found the snake in her backyard, began hitting it in the head with a shovel, which I think is the right way to defend yourself against a rattlesnake.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Then her dad suggested they keep the skin as a souvenir and eat the meat. So she did. An expert says it's like eating a chicken finger, but with a lot less meat than a chicken finger.
I guess people do eat snake.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Is that considered a delicacy in some places?
Maybe in Arizona. The closest I've had deep fried alligator tail.
You did?
Down in Florida. It was pretty good.
It tastes like chicken.
It tastes like chicken.
No, but really?
With a barbecue sauce, really, literally.
Deep fried alligator tail.
Correct.
I haven't heard of that one. With barbecue sauce.
It was tasty. It was thicker than a chicken finger, that's for sure. And more meaty on that level. All right, let's check the...
Morning on 710 WOR.
We've been covering a wide swath of stories today from the abuse scandal in Pennsylvania involving all those priests and 1,000 victims. We covered that bridge collapse in Italy, and we covered Amoroso. But you know the story that because I live near Great Neck, and you just don't hear of stories like this. But it really got to me that this lady, the 66-year-old named Faye Dumption, invites a British tourist into her home for cake and coffee, and then stabs her to death. She said something like. She claims she needed to get rid of the House of Evil. That's what the
that is weird, isn't it?
This is a weird story. So this is the Nassau County Detective Lieutenant Stephen Fitzpatrick. Listen to what he had to say about this.
Sometime during while they were sitting in the living room, they were talking, and the woman made statements that she did not like the woman from England. She claimed she needed to rid the house of evil.
So it's a British tourist.
Yeah, now she was there. The Miss Dumchin,
yes,
did not know the victim. The victim was the friend of a male visitor.
She
knew the male.
Maybe
person.
Maybe there was something that she flipped out of. She knew the male. I don't know. Something happened.
Then appeared from the kitchen with a kitchen knife, walked right over to her and stabbed her in the chest. This woman died as a result of these injuries.
Crazy?
How do you explain that?
You can't. And the neighbors can't understand her either.
Unheard of. I could never imagine something from her.
Of course, it's scary, you know. A couple houses down the block, and to think this woman was just living there and something set her off.
Yeah, it really is.
Shocked. Really shocked. Really shocked.
Now, apparently she had one prior arrest, but it's all the way back in 1999, Joe.
Yeah, she used a weapon, though, right?
She did use a weapon. Yeah. It was second-degree assault. Dumption's lawyer, Robert Gottlieb, now this is the story in the Post, said that she has a long history of mental illness.
I would probably think so. That's a good bet.
So. Did you see the story about El Chapo?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't aware of this. Were you aware of this?
No, I was not.
Okay, so he's the trial is going to start in November in Brooklyn, but because he's such a risk, I mean, you know, he gets broken out of any jail he's ever been in. He's being held in a high-security prison in Lower Manhattan.
Correct.
So they have to get him from Manhattan to Brooklyn whenever there's a court hearing. And every time they do that, they stop the traffic cold on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Wow.
Just boom, they close it down. And obviously, this is New York City. It's a mess. I didn't realize this was going on. So every time this happens, they close the bridge down. Now, when the trial begins in November, they're going to have to close down the Brooklyn Bridge twice a day for up to
four months.
Yeah.
4 months.
Yeah. So anyway, the judge, Brian Cogan, in court yesterday acknowledged, this is according to the story in the Times, acknowledged that there are valid concerns when it comes to traffic. So they're looking for other solutions.
Well, why not just hold him in Brooklyn?
Well, that's one possibility, but you apparently it's not as secure to keep him in Brooklyn.
Well, fortify it. You got some time.
Other ways, you could fly him over the river in a helicopter.
No.
You
no.
could ferry him across in a boat.
No.
No, that's not good either, huh?
That's not secure.
So, did you know this was, I didn't know this was
no,
going on.
No,
but shut the Brooklyn Bridge down because of El Chapo. That's what a threat they feel he is. And they bring him over the bridge in a speeding motorcade of heavily armored cars.
I would think
They're so worried. He was the guy in Mexico where he escaped out of the bathroom. They dug this long tunnel, right, a quarter of a mile at least, the prison. And
we've
got
seen
him out
movies
there.
Like this, you know, when the guys are being transported, their comrades come in and intercept the caravan and free the bad guy.
I got a question for you, Joe Bartlett.
Yes.
So far in 2018, so a little over half a year, or 7.5 months, how many robocalls, what they call spam phone calls, have people received in the United States in the first 7.5 months of 2018?
Let me take a wild guess.
16.3
billion.
Perfect.
I saw the story.
No, I know. Is that crazy?
That is 16.3. crazy.
I think I got half of them. Telling you, that's all. Those are the only calls I get are spam robocalls, both on my cell phone and calls at home. It's unbelievable.
The problem for us has exploded in the last couple of months. The phone rings nonstop now. Just last week, on two occasions, we had 20 of these calls. The previous day, 17. It was so annoying that I called Verizon. I said, You have to stop this. And they gave me some software called No Mo Robo Calls.
Does it work?
Yeah, but it kind of works. What happens now is when it comes in, it rings once and then disconnects.
So you still got a ring.
You still got one ring, but at least it doesn't ring, 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 ring.
What about on your cell phone? Can you use that on your cell phone?
I suppose so. It's not as big a problem on my cell phone. Although when I get robocalls on my cell phone, it's usually in Chinese. But it's crazy. Really? You answer the phone, it looks like a local number, and you guys are like, how do you deal with that?
You know what they're clever about? They call you where the first three
local number,
digits
yes, yeah.
are the same as your local number on my cell.
Yes.
So it's the same three
yep.
numbers. And you say, oh, this is a familiar number.
But if you don't know it, don't pick it up.
I never pick up. If a name doesn't come up, never.
Here's an interesting information. If you don't recognize the number of an incoming call, let it go to voicemail. And they say that if you pick it up, because I used to do this, I would pick it up and try and say, put me on your do not call list.
Right.
That only creates more phone calls for you.
That's something?
Yeah.
Well,
so just
that?
Let it go. Let's let it go.
Well, what about that do not call registry? Does that work? I've never tried that.
I put my number on, and it seems like right after I did that, I got more calls.
Now, there's a group called UMail that they call, they claim is a robocall watchdog.
Uh-huh.
And they offer free call blocking software. I wonder why. I mean,
was it called UMail?
Yeah,
called UMail. Okay, fine.
What would be in it for them? Y O U M A I L. But they supposedly offer this free call blocking software. So here's what they said. They said in May alone, the average American fielded more than 12 spam calls. Really? I must get 12 a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's just
unbelievable. It's really out of control right now. And the federal government should do something about this. You should not be allowed to harass people.
Well. Maybe they shouldn't allow robocalls. Maybe you have to have a live person.
Well,
that's what's killing
it. That's true, yeah. Well, I mean, that would cut out a lot of calls.
Can you imagine 16.3 billion?
That is a lot of them. And the thing is, I think if...
what are they pitching you?
Sometimes it's a lower interest on a credit card.
Okay.
Sometimes it's my warranty on the car, even though I don't have a warranty.
Right.
There's IRS calls.
Oh, I've gotten a few IRS
solar
calls.
Solar power calls.
Last week I got two IRS calls.
Yeah.
My wife got something. They claiming they were calling from the FBI. I mean, just nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
People take it seriously.
I mean, something needs to be done about this.
All right, come on, folks. What can we do? Let's get rid of these robocalls. Hey, we have a couple of callers. You know, if you're kind enough to wait, we're going to take a commercial break. But Victor, if you want to wait, you want to talk about robocalls, we'd love to have you on. We're going to have to wait a couple of moments, though. I think that's everyone has.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's a big problem right now.
It really is right. Coming up next, in addition to Victor's phone call, if he's kind enough to wait, we'll have spanking hippos. No, really. Who would want to spank a hippopotamus? True story. And the potty mouth parrot. Another true story. But first, let's check out traffic with Bernie Bunn.
And Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And coming up on 9:54 at the top of the hour, we'll be going to Mark Simone right here on 710 WOR. I think we touched a nerve, Joe, talking about robocalls and the fact that so far this year, according to one source, there have been 16.3 billion spam phone calls. And we touched a nerve. Victor, we thank you so much for holding on for a few minutes. Victor in New Jersey, good morning.
Yeah, I want to mention Mike's. What I do to handle these calls, and I think I have somewhat of a solution. First of all, the do not call list does not work because it just blocks legitimate telemarketers, which are in the minority. These are scam calls. They connect you with a live person overseas. And if I have the time, I string them along as long as possible and give them a fake credit card number and all that. And if they recognize that it's not a legitimate number, I tell them, well, you spoofed a number that's not correct either. So I'm just wasting your time like you're wasting my time.
Wow.
Okay?
You do this
now,
with a live person, huh?
Yeah, I connect with the live person, and I give them false hope that I'm falling for their scam. I give them a fake number, a fake expiration
date. Tie them up for
date.
A while. All right.
And I have a solution to it, and I did suggest it to my phone company. Why don't they block a call from coming in if it's not originating from the number that they're showing up on caller ID?
There you go.
You have to match the caller with the number. Good call, Victor.
Why don't they just not allow that call to come through if it's not from their originating phone?
We'll have to have Chuck Schumer do a Sunday news conference.
Well, they don't seem to respond to that, but that would be the solution.
Thanks,
okay.
Appreciate it. Let's also check out Margaret, New Jersey. Hey, Margaret, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, I love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you,
and
Margaret.
My solution is I do pick up, and I say, you have reached the fraud division of the blank police department. If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. We are not in the office right now, so please leave a message.
That's funny.
Or go to your local precinct. I rarely get that far. As soon as I say fraud division, I get a hang up.
Yeah, but see, I think the danger, Margaret, is that you've answered the call, and then they've said, hey, this is a person who will answer, and you're going to get another call.
But I hardly get any calls anymore.
Margaret, leave us your number. We'll call you. Sound like you need a, you sound like you need a hug.
Well, okay.
Thanks, Margaret. Thanks for calling. Let's take one more before we move on. All from New Jersey. Are they getting slammed? How about Bill? He's in Short Hills. Hey, Bill.
Hi. There are no robocalls. Schumer took care of this months ago. Don't you remember that Sunday morning?
Yeah. Always.
And not only that, but Verizon is not going to stop this because they make money on the other end. They don't care about you. The caller pays them, so they're not going to stop them. If they stopped all those people, they'd lose all that business.
The cynicism around here is just running rampant. No, I
there you go.
No, the phone companies do get paid.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Hey, listen to this. I mean, you know, people are basically nuts, which we know that. That's why we're here 4 hours a day to chronicle it all, Joe. This is the L.A. Zoo. They got a couple of hippos who live there named Rosie. Make your own punchline. Rosie and Mara live at the L.A. Zoo. Well, I guess people, you know what this is all about? People have videos that they want to make viral. So there's a video out there of a guy jumping the fence, running up to Rosie. And spanking her.
Really?
That's the whole video. So you go up and spank a hippo and then run away. I guess they're trying to make a viral deal. But, you know, hippos are not, you don't want to mess with hippos, Joe. Well, for example, last weekend there was a tourist from Taiwan was killed in Kenya.
Sheesh.
And in another incident, a local fisherman was mauled to death. This is according to Fox News. So, really? You want to jump? Do you want to make your little video by spanking a hippo in the L.A. Zoo? Dumb.
It's a little dangerous. By the way, I just got a text from my wife.
Yeah.
3 robocalls since we started talking about the subject.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you really do have a problem.
Oh, we do have a problem.
I don't get that many. I get them on my cell phone. On my home phone, not as much.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so I'm about to disconnect it, to tell you the truth. So annoying. Yeah.
Well, you don't answer them, do you?
No.
You have caller ID, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this one. This is a funny story, maybe a good one to end with, Joe. So the London Fire Brigade was called over in London to help rescue a parrot that was stuck in a roof. I guess it was stuck up there for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is north of London, and it spent 3 days stuck in the roof of a house in a suburb. And the fire department gets there, and as the fire brigade gets close, did you hear this?
Yeah.
The parrot tells the firefighters to F off. It says the whole word.
Of course, yeah.
F off. The fire. Which is kind of funny, I think. There was a happy ending. It's just funny. So the potty mouth parrot.
That's funny.
It was out of the Telegraph.
How long was it on the roof? A couple of days?
It was stuck 3 days in a roof. Yeah, so. But the firefighters would get close. F off! F off!
Ah! You just throw like a little sheet over him and he'll quiet down.
I don't know what happened. Yeah. So he flew off to another roof and then reunited with her owner. But see, I think the owner probably taught the parrot. What's going on in that
from
house?
Somewhere, yeah.
What kind of a potty mouth house do you live in, lady? Anyway, they rescued the guy, but the parrot, but kind of funny.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it. Any unfinished business?
No, that was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow.
You know what? We'll come back tomorrow. I have it on good authority that we may be getting a phone call from the Oval Office.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Great.
Looking forward to that. If you missed anything today, feel free to check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Coming up next, Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock.